Thank you for that. Lovely special music. Appreciate that. Thought it was interesting. We started off with a little reminder of things learned in kindergarten. Did you ever see your mother poke a toothpick in a cake when it was still in the oven? You know what she was doing? She was testing that cake to see if it's done. If it came out clean, otherwise if it wasn't done, there'd be some batter still stuck on it. And then, of course, leave it in longer. You know, maybe you like to go out, test drive a car before you pick one up you want to buy. We test our smoke detectors. We test our blood pressure. The weatherman tests air pressure. There's a saying, test the water. You know, if we present a new idea, see if it works or not. So I'm sure you can come up with just a huge list of tests that we have in our daily life. We heard some of that in the sermonette about things we can look at in the scriptures. So test and testing is the title for the message today. Does anyone really like being tested or taking tests? Do we really like to take a test? Do we like to be examined as to how we do something? Well, we might, if we're playing a game, having fun taking a test, it doesn't matter if we pass or fail. Today we'll look at some test questions, see how we live by every word of God, how can we test ourselves as to how we carefully, accurately, actually live by every word of God. Now here's a test just for fun. I read the question and you just think of the answer. You don't write it down, just mentally answer it, and you'll know if you got it right or not when I give you the answer. Here's 10 questions from what some people say is the world's easiest quiz. How long did the Hundred Years' War last? What country makes Panama hats? From which animal do we get catgut? In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? What is a camel's hairbrush made of? The Canary Islands in the Pacific are named after what animal? And what was King George VI's first name? A couple more. What color is a purple finch? Where are Chinese gooseberries from? And what is the color of the black box in a commercial airline? And a bonus question here. How long was the 30 Years' War? All right, now, how do you think you did? We're going to find out. How long did the Hundred Years' War last? 116 years. Which country makes Panama hats? Ecuador. From which animal do we get catgut? Sheep and horses. In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution? November. What is a camel's hairbrush made of? Squirrel fur. The Canary Islands in the Pacific are named after what animal? Dogs. King George VI's first name? Albert. And what color is a purple finch? Crimson. Chinese gooseberries are from New Zealand. The color of the black box in a commercial airplane is orange. So how'd you do? And the bonus question, how long was the 30 Years' War? 30 years. So I hope we all passed. Now, I'd like to ask all of us, including myself, we'll look at another set of test questions from God's Word. And our answers are personal and private. It's a personal test between ourself and God. And only God knows for sure how we do, how well we think we do. And the difference between these tests and the first one is the fact it really does matter if we pass or fail. I need to tell you ahead of time, none of us will pass, excuse me, with a perfect score. So no one should become discouraged because only Jesus Christ was able to do and get everything right. We came here today to learn God's word and to learn how to apply it, how to live it. And we can begin by taking note of the fact Christ himself was tested. He was tested to see if he would live by every word of God. Now, we obviously know for a fact that was he would do that. You know, he was God in the flesh, but he knew all of mankind is to live by every word of God, and not just Christ exclusively. So three times we're told to do that. First time is given in Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. Here it says, "And he, God, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. The second time we're told that is in Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. Okay, here it says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And the third time is in Luke 4 and verse 4. In fact, God has that repeated three times, you know, get the point here. Luke 4, 4, Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So God is very interested and how well we do live by his every word. He does actually test his people from time to time. He doesn't tempt us to sin, but he does test us to see if we live by his word. Notice Exodus 16 and verse 4. Exodus 16, and in verse 4. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Psalm 7 and verse 9. Psalm 7. And verse 9. Here it says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds." And then Proverbs 17:3. Proverbs 17 and verse 3. "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." Why all the testing? Is there another great purpose for them besides the fact God wants to know our hearts, to know if we're going to obey him? Well, yes, there is. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 16. "Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not? That he might humble you, and that he might prove you or test you, to do you good at the latter end." To do you good. It is for our good. The testing reveals to God the areas in which we need to have his help. It helps him know best how to help us for our own good. So the Bible reveals tests we all take, whether we know it or not, don't, and it reveals how we do live by every word of God. So we'll compare some scriptures to a test taking. Test ourselves by the Word of God. And the Bible is like a teacher's manual. It contains the test and it contains the answers. So we'll look at some tests in the Bible, some areas we test ourselves in, see how we do, and then talk about how to improve our scores. And hopefully we'll get some ideas about how we can do better. So Matthew 25, and we'll start in verse 31. We'll pretty much cover familiar scriptures today. And we'll read down to verse 40. When the Son of Man will come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, he'll sit on the throne of his glory. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So we can compare this to a teacher grading the test papers. The students that pass sit on the right hand, those that fail on the left. Verse 33, he'll set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left, and the king will say to them on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All right, so here comes the testing part. For I was hungry, you gave me food. Mr. Yule passed that test with that little kid. Anyway, I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. So we drop down to verse 40, and we'll see how Christ graded the test. How did he decide who passed and who failed? Verse 40 says, then shall he answer them, saying, truly I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. The ones who expressed love and concern passed. Now, we understand the benefit of passing this test is to move up, not to the next grade level, but rather move up to the kingdom of God. If we've been doing these things for others, then we have been receiving passing grades. The question each one has to ask ourselves is how well, how much do we do these things? We can't claim we all do everything perfect every time, so we don't pass with an A+. We might get an A, a B, or C. Hopefully none of us would get an F. Jesus gives a specific list of acts of love toward our neighbor. So all these things are acts of love towards a fellow man. It's not a complete list, of course, but it's a starting point. It shows us what's expected from us and teaches us we have to have concern for our brother, our fellow man. So one point is they were to practice their faith, to live their faith, walk in it. Some brethren give food to the food shelves. Some visit the sick, some pray for those in prison, some give clothes, some sew for the needy. When we pray for the work of the gospel for the world to witness, we are feeding people. So I don't want us to think we're not doing these things, but we have to consider if we might neglect any one of these areas. When it's possible for us to do them, then not neglect them. You know, there's some things we simply are not able to do. Even if we don't have a lot of this world's goods, we do what we can do. We can still give what we do have to give, give generously of our prayers, our health, our financial means. That could prevent us from helping others in a physical way. But our prayers, our genuine concern for our fellow man, they have real value for getting good grades. So many other ways we can do things for others that count as doing them for Christ. Saw a wonderful example one year at the feast at the Dells one morning, Jean and I went out for breakfast in a restaurant, and it was full. The hostess was going to seat a couple in a corner booth, but the lady was in a wheelchair, and that booth was not going to work for her or her comfort. Another lady at a nearby table offered to leave her table and give it to that couple and offered instead to take the booth. The lady in the wheelchair was clearly relieved. She wouldn't be stuck in a corner, and she's very thankful for that. Well, it was a thoughtful act of kindness and mercy to another person. And I personally think that was exactly what Christ was talking about when he said, if you do it for someone else, you do it for me. We're not able to feed the whole world. We're not able to dress everyone. We're not able to visit everyone in prison. We do have a first responsibility to support the work of preaching the gospel. Christ is leading his church to do a great work. And so one way we support the work, we hold up the hands of our leaders, our prayers, hold up the hands of the men on the council of elders. We pray God will guide and inspire the council of elders, the church administration, that they all do his will. We send in tithes and offerings. We help pay for all the expenses involved in doing the work. So we put those things first. We donate to that cause first, if I can say it that way. That money ultimately helps more people in the greatest way, the spiritual way. You know, however, when we are able to financially do more, give physically help or visit, then of course we do need to do that. It's not convenient to be a Christian. Sometimes we have to go the extra mile. As they say, it's not always easy or convenient to visit the sick or someone in jail. A good question we could ask ourselves is this: if it were Christ in person who needed some help, would we help? Well, I think we would. If a fellow human being needed some help from us, would we help? Well, I think we would help. But if not, why not? Are we too busy? Do we think it just isn't convenient right now? Not talking about the times when we simply are not physically able to help. You know, sometimes the only help we can give is with our prayers. I'm talking about not helping when Christ would expect us to help or visit or shelter, feed someone, whatever. As I said, we can't fix everything. But there are things when we might be able to do something. It's when we can. And if we can, if we're able, that's when we pass or fail the test. Three more tests listed in James 1, 26 and 27. We heard that earlier. I'll just read right through that. James 1, 26 and 27. If a man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. The man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, to start with that statement about the tongue, James 3:3, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn their whole body. You look at the ships. Although they're so large, they're driven by fierce winds. They're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue, the little member, boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members, it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on hell by fire. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea, has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a ruling evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, with it we curse men, and we've been made in the similitude of God. So out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? And verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What's the point of that? God, in his word, warns us, be careful with our words. I have a humorous example to show how someone was not careful with her words. She did not bridle her tongue. Now, this is not funny. It might make us laugh, but it really is not funny. And I know someone who actually did this. She received the wrong phone number call. She decided to have some fun at the caller's expense. When the person asked for Leroy, she said he was not there because he ran off to Chicago. The caller said he did. It gets worse because then she said, yes, he ran off with a woman. And the caller said he did. Now, think about this. What really happened? Now, first I'll tell you what did not happen. The caller did not say, Leroy would not do that, so I'll get the facts from him later. The caller did not say that would be out of character for him, so I don't believe it. What did happen? The caller took sides with the accuser. He did. She just assumed it to be true. She said, he did. Did she impute motives to Leroy and then spread that story around? Poor Leroy was guilty before proven innocent instead of the other way around. The damage was done, and we'll never know if poor Leroy ever got out of that one. You know, I assume that he did because he said, well, here I am, I didn't go there. But that it was supposed to be a joke or a prank, but it could have really did some damage. If that happened to us, would we repeat the matter, or would we bridle our tongue and then save Leroy a lot of grief? See, we have to be careful. Watch our words, bridle our tongue. Some jokes, of course, aren't appropriate. Otherwise, you know, we deceive ourselves. Our religion is vain, it's empty. So, in other words, we would receive a failing grade. We would fail the test of living by every word of God. I'll read James 1:27 again. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Two more areas of testing, you know, the fatherless, the widows, they can be overlooked in our day-to-day hurried pace. Sometimes we're careful to visit them when someone is recently widowed. But it's in the follow-up that we might overlook them. The first year is usually the hardest for someone if they lost his or her mate. Every special event, anniversary, or holy day, it's hard because they're alone. So every call, every visit, every encouragement, it's always greatly appreciated. Remembering them at such times is a blessing to them and to us. The last part of the verse, to keep himself unspotted from the world, is a big test as well. And you know, when we come up on the Passover preparation, we turn to scriptures that list things like the works of the flesh or areas to avoid. I won't turn there today, but you know, you could test ourselves against those verses as well. There's many places in the Bible we can turn to and use as a test, see how we actually live by every word of God. When we stop to consider how well we live by every word of God, we could turn to Philippians 4:8. Do we pass the test of focusing our mind on moral and spiritual excellence? Do we put into practice those things? Do we have spots in any of those areas? Philippians 4:8, here's a list. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. We can look briefly at these areas, so call them tests. Each one's a test. Do we think on these things? Whatever is true, whatever is valid, reliable, and honest, or the opposite of false. It applies to the truth about everything. You know, I have a whole sermon on truth. You know, whatever things are honest. So it's easy to go wrong here. We live in a world filled with dishonest people, so it's easy to think of some dishonest people. You know, here's a saying, how do you know when a politician is lying? When their lips are moving. Well, that's pretty sad. Yeah. And technically, that is not a true statement. You know, we can make fun of the politicians, but you can't say that. You don't know in their heart if they're lying every time. But we throw out those phrases, you know. The danger for us, it's easier to see the dishonesty in others and rather than carefully look at ourselves. So, you know, I hope we're completely honest with ourselves, with God, with our fellow man. So we have to be careful not to deceive ourselves in any way, especially spiritually. You know, it can happen, and we're warned to avoid allowing it to happen. It is not always easy to be totally honest. We have to focus on it, think about it. I saw a Perry Mason movie one time, just a little TV show, but in the movie a man came up and asked him what to say on the witness stand. And so Perry Mason told him, just tell the truth. The man said, that's not so easy. Perry said, yes, it is. In the movie, it was not so easy because the man had received a note telling him he would never see his wife again if he told the truth. Whatever is honest does not automatically mean easy. We have to think ahead of time about what is honest. How honest are we going to be in the face of hard trials? Whatever is just, we all know life isn't fair, but that doesn't excuse us to treat others unfairly or unjustly. See, here's the thing. If we're the victims, we want justice. If we did the wrong, then we want mercy, not justice. See, it has to do with how we treat our fellow man. You know, we have no doubt we would want to be just with Christ. Do we always, without exception, always want to be just with our brother, our fellow man? Do we think about things that are pure? Is there any area in our life where purity might be called into question? Do we think about lovely things? I just have to say this. Halloween is not lovely. Vampires, witches are not lovely things. That's all coming up. The vampire, the occult movies, the horror movies, those are not lovely things. There was a horror film, Saw 3D, chopped the U.S. charts for making the most money one weekend with $24.3 million. Second place was Paranormal Activity with $16.5 million. And overall, the movie made $100 million. In the United Kingdom, Saw topped their charts as well. It's reported to be the most successful horror series of all times. These kinds of films may be financially successful, but they are not lovely. You notice what God has to say about this, Ephesians 5 and verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 5. Here it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The tooth fairy is not truth. It's not good to teach that. There are no good vampires. There's no good horror movies. You know, I tell my wife, I do not want to be afraid. And people go, oh, they go to those horror movies. They like to be afraid or scared. That's going to happen when the end of this age comes. I do not want any part of that. Ephesians 5, verse 10 and 11, it says, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There's the test. Do we walk in light or in darkness? How many people did it take to spend $100 million to walk in darkness? So much of television programming is not lovely. Extreme fighting, extreme boxing matches, that's not lovely. I used to like the boxing at one time. I was going to watch a heavyweight fight, and they had the women boxers come out first. And see those women punching each other in the face? That's when it sunk in to me, that is not right. So then these heavyweight boxers punching each other in the face, it's not right. I haven't watched it since. Extreme fighting, that is not lovely. But TV seems to glorify the violence. You know, we're told, think about things that have a good report. Think about things that have virtue, things that deserve praise. You don't deserve praise for knocking some guy out by punching him in the face. Anyway, think about things that deserve praise. Think on these things. Choose the excellent. Choose the praiseworthy. If we're thinking on different things, we might not be helping our grade point average. We might not be living by every word of God. Anything that enters our minds needs to pass these tests. Or we have to put them out of our mind. If we're honest with ourselves, it becomes quite obvious in a hurry. We don't pass everything with a perfect score. None of us live by every word of God perfectly. We said earlier, only Christ was able to pass with that perfect grade. But we are to go on to perfection. We're not there yet. But what if we don't have a good grade in a certain area? What if it isn't too bad? Is that a reason to think we shouldn't strive to bring our spiritual grade up higher? What if we do have a failing grade in some area? You know, what can we do about that? What can we do to improve our test scores? Is it too late to change our grade? When I was in high school, I had a physics teacher. He had a unique approach to testing us. He would give us a test, and he would allow us to use our book to find the answer, so an open book test. But he didn't stop there. If we didn't pass or we didn't get a good grade or good enough, we could come in either before school or after school and take the test over. We could still have the open book. We could come in as often as we wanted, keep taking that same test until we were happy with our grade. If we wanted 100, we could keep going until we made it 100. He believed if we were willing to keep trying to dig out the answers, we would learn and remember the answers. I remember I went back at least once and took a test over. Maybe could have did better, but I did at least do one. But we've been given a book of life. It has all the test questions. It has all the answers we need. We're allowed to open it over and over and dig out all the answers that we need to bring our spiritual grade level up. We don't have to stop when we earn a minimum grade. We can work for a higher grade. We'll never have perfect grades in every class or every test, but if you're capable of making A's, you should make A's. If you're capable of making B's and C's, and D's, well, then you're not living up to your potential. You know, If you can make that A or B, that's what you should be striving for. If you're capable of making Bs, nobody expects you to make As. The point is, if you're capable of making Bs and you do make Bs, you are doing just as good as the person making the As. Why? Because you're doing the best you can do with what you have been given to work with. So it's all about personal best, about doing the best that we can do. It's not about what someone else can do, it is personal. We're to do our best. All we can do is do the best we can with what we've been given to work with. I know that's easy to say, it's hard to do, but put in the effort, do the work that it takes to pass with the highest grade that we can achieve. We see that principle in Haggai 2, 4 and 5. Haggai 2. Haggai 2, 4 and 5. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, said the Lord, and work, for I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear you not. Well, he tells the leaders and the people, God will help you. So God wants us to put in the effort, and he will supply the rest. You know, God wants us to do good. He wants us to pass the test. Our job is to work together, do the work, and God supplies the help. Now, there is a work to do. It might not be an easy job, but God will help us get that job done. When God helps with the work, there's no excuse to fail. We're told, go on to perfection. That's Hebrews 6:1. So we're told, keep opening the book. Keep studying. Keep raising our grade by learning and then passing our test. There's instructions for us that show us how to change our grade. For example, Ephesians 4:28, we're told, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. That's Ephesians 4:28. So here's a person failing the honesty test. He can change and instead receive a passing grade if he'd stop stealing and go to work. His grade will improve even more when he uses some of his honest income to help someone else. So I think that's a good example of someone learning to live by every word of God. We could review all the Ten Commandments, see if we're passing grades on each one of those. An open book examination will show if we need to work on a certain one more than another one. The thing about grades is you could have some good grades, but not enough to graduate. We might have answered correctly some of the quiz questions I asked earlier. Most of us didn't answer all of them correctly. That was okay, but it really didn't matter if we knew those earlier questions or not. But it does matter how we do and what we know when it comes to living by every word of God. We have to be opening our books, need to study with real effort. There's a test we simply must not fail. That test is the test of our overall character. It's and how we actually do walk as Christ walked and actually lived as Christ lived. He loved people, he cared for them, he forgave them with patience and kindness. All of us are able to bring our grades up, keep them up. You know, if we're doing well, it's up to us to how hard we work at it. It's up to us how high a grade we want. You know, hit the books, study. And we can do to others as we would do to Christ and for Christ. When Christ was in the flesh, he got A+. Okay. How about us? How well do we actually follow through with our careful obedience to live by every word of God so we can have an A+? We don't want to let down spiritually and then as a result become lukewarm or even to the point we could allow the Holy Spirit to go out from us. God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. He gives it to those who listen when he speaks, when he instructs, and then, of course, follow through on that instruction. So we can personally decide, if we honestly listen to and actually do what God tells us to do. I've got just a few more things here. Here's an easy A+. We don't eat unclean things. It's usually an easy test. It might not be when we first learn about the difference between clean and unclean and the beast that could be eaten, the beast that can't be eaten. But we do learn, and we do go on and pass that test. Here's another basic area, it could be called testing. And this example is not so easy for everyone. What about tithing? God speaks very clearly and plainly. We're not to leave tithing undone. We're to do it without excuse. You know, that's interesting. God allows us to even test him. Now, not tempt him, we're not get our own way, but he says, you can test me on this, prove me on this. You do that faithfully and you'll be blessed. He'll make a way. The Sabbath, the holy days, those are two areas we can let down if we're not careful as we need to be about paying attention to God's word. I mean, obviously we're here today. What about the Sabbath? But overall, all year, do we listen when God speaks his instructions? How we observe the Sabbath day? You know, we're commanded to be there every Sabbath. You know, it's obvious health issues are a valid reason to miss. Our hearts go out to brethren that face those kind of trials. But we're not to miss because it might be more convenient to just log on the internet. If we're habitually late, maybe don't dress as respectfully as fitting to appear before the great creator. Maybe not really paying attention to the sermon. I'm watching. Everybody's paying attention. Okay. But if not, you could have a lukewarm problem. Could even be worse yet if there's a lack of respect for God's command to assemble. See, I'm just mentioning some basic areas where we might not receive a passing grade because we might not be as careful about making sure we pass the test, being faithful, how we observe the Sabbath, the holy days, following through on any of God's instructions. I am not suggesting there's a problem here as a reminder. We want to be sure, keep our grades up, shoot for those A's and B's. Another basic area we can look at, I'll just read Psalm 111 and verse 1. Psalm 111 and verse 1. It says, praise you, the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Do we do that with all our whole heart when we sing the hymns? Do we truly, with all our heart, with all our attention, sing praise to God? When we're singing those words, we think in what they are. God is great. You think that in your mind. God is great. You're singing that to him, praising him. See, we could all get an easy A+ if we praise the Lord with our whole heart, with every hymn we sing. If we do our part, try with all our might, with God's help, we'll receive passing grades. We'll successfully graduate. Some graduate with high honors, some with honors. Some will be happy to just graduate. You know, my physics teacher was willing to give us extra credit if we do some physics project and then write it up and turn it in. So he did his part to make it as easy as possible for us to get those passing grades and good and even excellent grades. Extra Bible study, extra prayer, fasting, meditation, that goes a long way towards improving our spiritual grades. You know, we read where we're told, go on to perfection. If we have a C, well, let's go on to a B if we're able and capable to do that. And if we have a B, let's go up to an A if we can, if we're able. When I was a little kid in grade school, the teachers were not afraid to fail any student who didn't pass enough of the tests. When we'd get our report cards, I still remember the second, third grade, we were actually fearful about turning them over and looking on the back. On the back of the card, it said what grade we would go into the next year. If we were in third grade, we wanted it to show next year it would say fourth grade. It was not automatic. Sometimes a student would have to repeat a grade. That was in a Catholic school, that not a public school, where it seems like you just automatically you go to the next grade. This was, we had a genuine fear. You could fail. Sometimes a student would fail the entire year, do it over. I remember my heart was just pounding when I turned that card over. I think we kids all had the impression the teachers were mean enough to fail us. Thankfully, I passed every year, but none of us should be afraid of our report card. We should know that we're doing our best, and God wants us to pass. It's not my notes, I just happen to think of it that God will finish the work he started in us. We can say, yes, I am going to be in God's kingdom. And why can you say that? Because you're doing your best, God will finish that work in you. You do not have to be afraid. God wants to put us on his right hand with all the other successful graduates. Now, it's true, our tests will be graded. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, it says, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Actually, I should have turned there. Let's just go back and I'll read that last, Ecclesiastes 13 and 14. Didn't want to just rush right over that one. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. So on the one hand, there has to be a passing grade. Notice this very encouraging scripture, final scripture, Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid. Turn that report card over. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We don't have to be afraid of our report card. God wants us to pass. He wants to do us good. You know, why should we doubt if we're passing or not? We have the answer book. We can go to it whenever we want and look up all the answers. It answers all of our questions. What should I say? What should I do? How do I receive God's help and God's guidance? How do I show love to others? How do I live? How am I really supposed to live? The answers are in this book. It tells us, live by every word of God. If we're living as this holy book instructs us to live, then without any doubt, we will certainly pass. When Christ returns, let's be confident. Make sure all our grades have been passing grades. When we study the book, live by every word of it, we can be certain we will not fail. We will certainly pass and go on to the next level, which is to graduate into the kingdom and family of God.